Here's Sharon McNamara.
And good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara here at WATD, South Shore's one and only real estate show here on Saturday mornings, and I'm happy to be that way. We have Tim manning the phones this morning, so hopefully we can get some callers. I know my brother-in-law, Michael, is enjoying that sunshine down there. Sounds like he had a couple agents on from the Fort Myers area. Hopefully one day we'll be able to buy a house down there,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, enjoy the weather. Yeah, the winter weather.
Exactly. Sanibel Island sounds like a very wonderful place to be right now. So this morning, my co-host, you know, you're my co-host today, and my sidekick is usually right here with me. Yeah, right? She's not here today,
nope.
Cindy. Yep, she has an appointment this morning. So, Cindy, if you're on your way to your appointment, good morning, and hope all goes well with your appointment today.
I'm sure it will go very well.
Yes, I'm sure she'll absolutely be fine at that appointment. So that voice. Yeah, we haven't had you on for a while, it seems, right?
No. It was supposed to be last week, and then something developed on there. And
oh, yeah, what happened? I wonder. Yeah, but you know what? Something did get messed up.
Yep.
Cindy's taking care of the scheduling now, so we'll just have to ask her what happened. She's probably going to kill me right now for saying that. Because we ended up by ourselves last week.
Right.
So I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, well, I talked to you on the phone when we were scheduling the times, and usually we do it through email, so it's on paper. This one was not.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah.
that's
probably what happened. So that voice is the one and only Steve Cook from Imperial Inspection Services. He does not just, I always say home inspections, you know, but you do
everything. Kind of the whole gambit for whatever has to do with real estate transaction, from lead paint, Title V, home inspections, pest inspections.
Radon.
And radon.
Yeah. Radon is a big one, too. And you don't really get into mold, but you can see it when you're there.
Yeah, if we come across something, we don't actually look for it, but if we see any signs of any, like, mushrooms, portobellos growing on the walls or anything like that, then we usually recommend that you have someone come in to take a look and say, you know, you're dealing with blue cheese, you know, good mold, or, you know, something that contains toxins on there. And then they can tell you how to, you know, remediate and prevent it from coming back.
Because that's really like a whole nother thing, isn't it? There's
absolutely
sort of like triggers, aren't there? Like every year, there's like a hot topic word or something.
Yep. It was last year was all ice dams. This year, it's mold, you know, just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if the mold and everything, that has a lot to do with just probably the weather and how it's been.
Just the weather and the areas, you know, staying very damp, and you got the temperature changes that creates condensation, so that makes a prime condition for mold to start to incubate.
Yeah. So what we're going to be talking about today, first of all, I just want to say congratulations. I know that John had recently retired, so you're now...
John and Shirley retired, yes.
Yeah,
and they're enjoying,
sole owner of Imperial Inspection Services sitting here with me. You're like fancy pants now, and you're still sitting here with me. So today we have a topic that we're going to be talking about, which we were going to do originally, ice dams.
Right, and we haven't had any occurrences this year, so... And lead paint, a lot of your brokers asked about the lead paint, and... Mm-hmm. That seems to be the hot topic in the last month or so.
Yeah, and I know Cindy and I actually touched upon it last week, is one of the things that's so great about the show is, for us, is having people like you as resources for us. You
right.
know, it's just been awesome. You guys are so good. And I know last night, actually, I was texting with a good friend of mine. His name is Charlie Burke, and he owns the Real Estate Academy down in Braintree.
Right.
And I told him I was going to be talking about this, because I was like, hey, off the top of your head, tell me how much the fines are again if we don't fill that form out right. So I'm always filling it out right, so I never worry about
it. Oh, the lead paint notification form for the real estate. Yes.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that a little bit later too. But what happened last week or the week before, Cindy came into my office, and she had a situation with one of her clients was purchasing a house that had already been under agreement, but that had fallen apart, and the agent had told them and disclosed that they did a lead paint test and it came back. So you helped her with her client, because ultimately you ended up being that
right, because that house did have some lead paint concerns from a previous inspection on there, and you know, Cindy was looking to see how to, you know, deal with it at that point, and I guess the homeowner was receptive to doing portions of some lead remediation you know, legally on there, and she wanted to know the procedure for getting the proper documentations and to keep everything in line.
Mm-hmm. And you were great, because she brought it to me, like, and I was like, and I said, well, why don't you get a copy of the form first? Let's just see if we can figure it out. I mean, I don't just jump to you guys to rescue us like a damsel in distress. We try to figure it out ourselves. So she gave me the form, and I was like, I don't know what the heck this is saying.
Right, right.
I mean, they're pretty complicated, actually, with, like, I had all these, like, you know, numbers on it, and I was like, I have zero idea. I don't know what it means.
Yeah,
so.
One of the fortunate things in the last 10 years, the forms have all become standardized. You know, prior to that, You know, you could make up Sharon's lead paint inspection form, or Steve could make one up, and now use all state-sanctioned forms. You can't alter them. So everybody that does do the lead paint inspection, all exactly the same. So when you give it to a deletter or a homeowner and you give them the 101 on how to read it, it's all pretty much smooth at this point.
I wish I had that with me. So if Cindy's listening, send me that in the email and I'll pull it up. I have my computer up. So, yeah, because... well, we'll get into that whole process of how you go through everything with lead paint, but why don't we back up a little bit? Again, you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Steve Cook from Imperial Inspection Services. If you have any questions about the home buying process, when you need an inspection, anything to do with home inspections or other inspections that Steve and his company does, please feel free to call us. Tim is manning the phones, 781-837-4900. And I say manning the phones with like bells on, ready for people, right?
Ring-a-ling.
Yeah, I know. I love it when Tim's here because he always will, you know, he'll like play along with Sharon.
Yeah, that's the idea.
I know. I'm a little sleepy today, too. I don't even know why. I had a good night's sleep. So, okay. So
get that second coffee.
You know what? I didn't finish my first cup. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
So, yeah, and we're heading up to Vermont after we leave here. So, Mark, if you're listening, if you could bring me a coffee, I'm about to steal Steve's. I can see it.
Yes. Okay. I'm holding onto it.
I know. As soon as I said I wanted some, he like grabbed his, like, and he's like, oh, look at me take a sip of this coffee, Sharon. Right, like, don't be jealous with your big bottle of water. So we're going to talk about lead paint. So why don't we just start right from the beginning? What is lead paint and why should people be concerned about it?
Well, lead paint, typically you find in homes 1978 and prior, and it's just the type of paint that they used back then, and then over time they found that, you know, the hazards involved when the paint starts to flake, the lead is released, and a lot of the kids, they pick up this lead dust or lead paint, and they become lead poisoned or elevated lead levels in their blood.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, kids six and under, it kind of inhibits the development and cognitive
Yeah, that's one of the things I was reading, too, was, and it was like the date that they put in here was like when they started using lead paint was like in the 1960s, which in itself is sort of, was it 1960s that they started using lead paint? I'll find that.
No, they've been using lead paint 16. Going back to 1916 or 1920s.
Yeah, I'll find the date exactly when
we get
to
a commercial
break. Yeah, it was a good
paint, too. You know, it held up well, but...
As you didn't need it.
Exactly. But what was happening, a lot of it is be on the outside of the house and homeowners not knowing back, you know, in the 60s and 50s, they're scraping the house, the paint falls in the ground, then they plant the tomatoes right up next to the foundation, and all that lead dust and the paint chips dissolved in the soil.
And, you know, so then you're eating it, essentially.
You're consuming it to some point, and then the other concern that they have is, say, if you have animals, you know, the dog lays, you know, right next to the foundation in the summertime where it's nice and cool, or the cat, they bring it in on their fur, and it gets introduced into the home that way also.
Yeah. So where do you think that you're finding most of the lead paint interior on homes? And do you think, I mean, have you really come across a house built in 1978 that has it? Like what years are you really seeing it? I mean, is the house... Have you done a house like in 1974 and found it?
Yep, 74. But most of the time I find on a house that's built in 74 is usually just on the outside of the house, not on the interior. And that's usually holds true about 95% of the time. And the lead paint that I found on the outside is usually the primer that the factory put on the windows, on the exterior of the sashes, or, you know, a lead paint-based paint that they use to paint the outside of the house.
Yeah, because that's another thing, too, I guess, to consider is when things are being manufactured, and a lot of things are being manufactured outside of the country. So obviously, we have to probably be very diligent to realize that they're not using lead paint there, right?
Out of the country, they are. They don't have the same laws. Like, you go back a few years, and a lot of the, you know, the blinds that you had, those vinyl blinds, those contained, you know, to some degree, lead hazards in there.
I've told that story before, because Casey came back high with lead when she was younger, because they test you when you're, you know, a baby. And we had to go through a lot of processes. You can imagine they thought it was Mark bringing it home, like working with lead and things like that, you know, being a plumber. And what's the first thing baby does when dad comes home?
Right.
They still do that, by the way, at 21, right? Da-da!
No. Yeah, and so say if Mark had, you know, lead debris on his clothes, you wash it in the same washing machine, now that lead's going to leach out, get into the baby clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those are, you know, typical ways sometimes it's transferred.
And for us, it ended up being the blinds. They were those little mini blinds. Yeah. So that's what ended up happening for us. The other thing too is, and you know, this is one of the things is for me with you is that even Cindy and I were talking, and it's like, and again, I'm not here to, I don't have to build you up. Everybody knows how much I love you guys.
Here's another $100 bill.
Okay. I know. But some of the things you say, they're just such common sense things. And when we're going through an inspection, and it's been a while that I've personally been with you because, you know, I know that Mary does a lot of that aspect of things with my buyers for me now. So I can be concentrating on some of the other things with my other buyers out there looking at houses. And I really enjoy going to them, though, because I always learn something. But I remember, like, when you think about it, if the windowsills, you know, if people are putting, because that's where the dust will come to, right?
You know, when a window goes up and down, that's what they consider a movable or a friction surface.
Mm-hmm.
So as the window goes up and down, a lot of that dust has fallen in the window well between the storm window and the interior sill of the house. So you have that little, say, 27-inch by 4-inch area where all the lead is accumulated in there, and the cat sits up there, or if the child goes up to the windows looking outside to see what's going on, and say they drop the pacifier or something inside there, you know, that's going to pick up that lead and then be introduced into the child.
Yeah, because a lot of times what I hear is, you know, when people are, when they're discussing lead paint, and I'll just say people in general, I'll just say, let's just say a group of real estate agents are around talking, and it's, oh, do you think, well, what are your thoughts on lead paint and everything? Oh, well, I just won't let my kids, you know, chew. You know, I tell my clients not to let the kid chew the
windowsill. Right, keep the kid well fed, and that's usually your best bet. But
yeah, but I think that the point is like, that isn't, of course no one's letting their children chew on.
Yeah, gnaw on the trim.
Exactly. You know what I mean? We don't allow our dogs to do it. Certainly, we don't let our children do it. But it's things like what you just said is what we're not thinking about.
Right. And then the other is sometimes if the homeowner is trying to make the house lead safe, they're actually creating sometimes more problems. You know, they're taking the wood out or the windows, and they're, you know, just vacuuming the stuff up with the shop vac or the Electrolux, and the filtration system on those is not finite enough to capture all that lead dust. So as you vacuum it up, the smaller particles are blowing out through the exhaust and kind of spreading it throughout the home. Oh. Or if they have a forced hot air system, the dust is going down in the hot air, you know, ducts. And then when they turn on the AC or the heat, it gets distributed equally throughout the home. So,
Those are the things that people don't think of. And too, we will get into a little bit. I want to go through the processes of what you do to inspect, you know, homes. And then I want to talk about then what the next steps for homeowners to do, because one of the worries and concerns I know Sin had with, you know, her situation was, you know, that the person said that they were going to take care of it themselves.
Right.
And that's really not legal, right?
Well, it is legal as long as they have the proper, you know, degree for doing it, because you can be what they call a low risk to letter, a moderate risk to letter, and you can be a lead safe renovator or a high risk to letter. Those are basically the four categories. And each one, you know, is a little bit different on the level of deleading you can do inside the home.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you have that proper certification and they actually give you a ID or a license number that the inspector is looking for before you go back to the property to make sure that everybody's properly licensed to do that type of work.
Okay. So when we get, when we talk about that process about getting rid of it, I definitely want to go over those different levels again and what the people have to, homeowners have to do to get that certification put in place, because it's not a cheap thing.
Well, to delete a house, it all depends how much lead that you have inside there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, some I've seen, you know, but they do have a $1,500 state tax credit, you know, available to, you know, homeowners or landlords, you know, toward the deleting, and it's $1,500 per unit that they allow in the state.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing we're going to do right now then, we're going to just take a break real quick just so we can really get into things, because I don't want to start something and only have like a minute and a half to talk about it. So, Tim, we're going to take that break just 1 minute early. Then when we come back, we're going to get into the real meat of things, discussing lead paint, how you test for it, the different processes for testing for it. Now you know you have it. What do you have to do from there? Next steps. And what are your responsibilities as a seller in the state of Massachusetts when you know that you have lead paint?
Yes.
All right, perfect.
Okay.
We'll talk about
we'll
that
be
when
back.
We get back.
Imperial Inspection Services. Complete home inspection services. Radon testing featuring on-site results with electronic testing, lead paint inspection, Title V inspection, pest inspection, including FHA and VA. Call 7 days a week, 1-800-440-1141, or visit them on the web at imperialinspectionservices.com. With 28 years experience in two convenient locations, Braintree and Cape Cod, accepting credit cards for all services rendered. Imperial Inspection Services, 1-800-440-1141, 1-800-440-1141.
Hi, my name is Bob Gleason. I'm a senior real estate specialist and realtor at Boston Connect Real Estate in Pembroke. Like many of you listening today, my wife and I have talked about selling our family home and right-sizing to fit our needs. The process of making that kind of decision can be confusing and frustrating. On Tuesday, March 8th at 7 p.m., I will be hosting a seminar at the Adams Center, 33 Summer Street in Kingston, designed for baby boomers and their adult children. You should attend if you are planning on moving in the next 12 to 18 months, or you are spending too much of your valuable time maintaining a large family home, especially after last winter, and you are getting ready to move but are overwhelmed by the process and don't know where to start. Topics will include financial and pricing considerations, staging and showing your home, and packing and moving. As an added benefit, I will be joined by estate planning attorney Eileen Lee Breger. Once again, this seminar is designed for baby boomers and their adult children and will take place on Tuesday, March 8th at 7 p.m. at the Adams Center, 33 Summer Street in Kingston. This is a free event and meant to allow for questions after the presentation. If you would like to attend, please call me at 781-856-6714 or email me at bobgleason@bostonconnect.com. Once again, bobgleason@bostonconnect.com. Hope to see you there.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300. 50% more talk real estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Now, 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
And good morning to my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara here on WATD. We have Tim manning the phone, 781-837-4900. If you have any questions about the home buying selling process or, of course, anything to do with inspections, I have the one and only sole owner of Imperial Inspection Services.
Well, thank
Steve
you, Sharon.
Cook. Yes. Good friend of mine now. I can say we're friends, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're Biffs. Yeah, BFFs. So we're talking about lead paint, and it's really not a boring topic. Sometimes it's like, you know, oh, what's your show about? We have our weekly newsletter that goes out to all of our agents right at the office, and we tell everybody what our topic is going to be this week and who our guest is, just so they can tell their clients about it and listen in. And actually, our agents are learning so much just by listening to the show.
Yeah. And if they have any questions, they can call in at the same time.
Yeah, they should call in, actually. So you just heard Bob Gleason's message. I know he's planning on calling in maybe at some point, but he is going to be having a seminar, so hopefully you can call Bob at the office, 781-826-8000, and get more information about that as well. He gave me all the dates and everything, but I don't have them, Bob. It's like February something. It's coming up. So anyways, sorry, Bob, but he'll call and we'll hear the commercial again next break. So we're talking about lead paint. So let's start from the beginning, I guess. When you go into, if I'm working with a buyer, and they're going to have a home inspection, and the house is built prior to 1978, yep. I suggest.
They have a choice of, you know, having a lead paint inspection done on the house, mm-hmm. whether it be a comprehensive inspection, mm-hmm. which is a type of inspection that will depict every painted surface inside the home, mm-hmm. and they put it on a state formatted report. And that type of report can be used by a deletting firm if lead is to be found to bring the place into compliance. We'll tell them exactly what needs to be done. And then the other is, let's say, if no lead hazards were found on that initial inspection, that type of report would be used to generate what they call a letter of initial compliance, meaning that there's no lead or the lead hazards in the house don't pose a concern.
Okay, so letter of initial compliance.
Right, that means the first time through, on a full comprehensive inspection, no lead hazards have been found.
Okay. Then that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, yes.
Yeah. So now what about the process of you go through the house and there is, let's just use this as an example, there is lead paint, like Cindy's situation. There
right.
was lead paint. They said they took care of it. Does it make, they have to get something afterwards to make sure it complies, right?
Right. You need a reinspection done on the property. And basically what the reinspection is going to show is who did the work, mm-hmm. and making sure they're properly authorized or licensed to do that type of work, and that the work has been done in a workmanlike manner and has been properly deleted. And we have to go back before they painted the surface.
Oh.
So you actually see the paint that's been removed or stripped down, or, you know, the actual, you know, components that were leaded before, you mm-hmm. know, before they're painted inside the home.
Do you have to have the same inspector go back that found it?
Nope. And you can have Joe come in and reinspect something Steve did, and mm-hmm. Vice versa.
Is that because now all the forms are basically all the same? I mean,
yeah,
I can't imagine they just did that 4 years ago. That seems weird to me.
Oh, no, they did it over 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
But even that seems funny. Like, they should have done it right from the beginning, don't you think?
Well, it was kind of loose in the beginning, but they have a great staff up at the, what they call the CLIP, or the Childhood Lead Prevention Program,
yeah.
and they've really organized and straightened it out as for a database and everything that's just going on in the industry. It's so mm-hmm. streamlined now that it's unbelievable, you know, because yeah. I started back, you know, prior to, you know, formal licensing, we were just registered, and it was kind of the Wild West out there.
Yeah.
And anything went, and everything was just kind of tightened up, and everything was brought together, so it's great.
You've seen everything, I mean, because you were on the board for the inspectors, right, for
yep.
the state of Massachusetts?
Division of Professional Licensure, yes, and
yeah.
the past chairman, yes.
And that's a big role. I mean, you were just telling me you're only supposed to be there for 4 years, but no one would step up, so how many years were you that?
Almost 12 years, yes.
Jeez. Because you have so much time on your hands.
Right, nothing to do.
Yeah, but no, I think it's exciting, though, because you wrote some of the different policies
and
the
stuff. Regulations, and revised a lot of them, and oversaw the consumer complaints regarding mm-hmm. your potential problems with a home inspector.
Yeah. You know, it's important to be on some of these boards. Some of them, it's, you know, a little, you only have so much time. One of the ones I'm on for our, you know, local board, which is Plymouth and South Shore Association of Realtors, is I'm on the grievance committee, which,
right.
you know, I think is a good committee to be on, you know, just because, you know, you can see, you know, how things could be interpreted and done the wrong way.
Plus, you can see some of the, you know, problems that are occurring out there.
Exactly.
And, you know, through education, and so you prevent those from, occurring again. And
yeah. You know, the numbers have been down, the number of complaints that we've actually had, which
right.
is, that's good. That's perfect. That's why yeah. we're realtors, right?
Yeah, same thing on the home inspector board. In the beginning, there was just a plethora of cases. And today, yeah. it's kind of down to, you know, very, very small numbers for investigations and so.
Yeah. We actually had a situation, I'm sort of digressing here a little bit, but we had a situation with one of my buyer clients who purchased in 2015, and they had the heating system. You probably did, I don't know if it was you or Jay or Dave, did the property in Middleborough, and something came up about the heating system, and then we got we got something back saying that they had a licensed plumber go there, look at it and review it,
right,
and
certify
do all that,
it.
Certified
yeah.
it and
yeah.
everything. Well, they just had lost their heat in that cold weather, and they had somebody else come out, you know, they just called their, you know, their own
right.
plumber, and wasn't my plumber, by the way, and which is almost better,
right?
You know, and the situation came up that it wasn't installed correctly, and there was carbon monoxide actually coming back
wow.
into the house.
Yep.
So good thing Mary and I take very good notes, and we have very good processes, and we were able to find instantly, by the way, just took out the file. Actually, everything's online, so we can just go right online, found the file, And we were able to give all that information to them about, hey, Kevin Tocci, he just came in the room over there. I saw someone, I was like, are we seeing like shadow people in here? Like there's ghosts in WATD hallways here. So it's important that, you know, you have that, the
response. Yeah, all the proper documentation. And, you know, if someone does find something on an inspection, it's usually a good idea to, you know, follow it up. And that way you know what to expect or, you know, get it fixed before you move into the home.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, I digress. So we're talking about lead paint again. What about with routine repairs that people are doing around the house? And I do want to get into what you exactly do at your inspections. But what are some of the routine practices people are doing that they think, oh, it's not a big deal, I'm just going to do this myself? But
that's what a lot of people do, is a lot of not a big deal. But if the house is built before 78, just assume that it does contain to some degree some lead paint. So when you're doing the cleanup or removing something, you know, you may want to, you know, most of the letters, they use a chemical called TSP, triosodium phosphate. And after the area has been, you know, swept up, cleaned, vacked, or so, they wipe the area down with this, and that picks up any lead dust residue. And basically, it's a fancy name for like a spick and span or so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because one of the things, too, that I think about, because I go into a lot of antique homes and things like that, too. So obviously, you know, those are old and probably have lead paint. But on the doors, you know, when, so if I'm just taking an old door off and putting a new door on, that's really not something that we should be doing, right?
Yep.
So, and you know what? I know that he's on the phone right now. You're just going to have to ask him to hold on one sec, okay? What if I did have a door and I suspected that it was lead paint? What do I do as a homeowner? I have to call a professional lead?
Well, you don't have to, because it's not part of the lead process. If you're trying to err on the side of caution, you know, call someone that's, that, you know, is either RRP approved. That's like a contractor that takes this, you know, course as part of their license. I'm sure Mark probably did this too. That way, if he gets into a situation where he has to drill through a piece of baseboard that potentially could contain lead paint, he'll know how to clean it up. And you know,
what are you supposed to do with the door? Let's just say it is a door. It's an interior door. It looks like, because it has that like that crackly look to it. Not that that's a detector of it, but. You know, it looks like skin.
Yeah, it almost looks like a little patchwork, and so.
Yeah. So what are you supposed to do? You take the door off yourself. You're thinking you're not doing much harm. What do you do with the door? You can't just throw that in the trash,
as
right?
A homeowner, you can, because you don't know whether it is or is not. You know, but if you're a licensed deletter or part of a deletting process, then it has to be disposed of properly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you can just play dumb.
Pretty much, yes.
I didn't know that it was lead, and I'm just going to throw it away.
Right.
But okay, so when you're going through the house, and first of all, let me back up a little bit, too, because I want to talk a little bit about the real estate aspect of it. If you're a seller in the state of Massachusetts, and this is probably federal law as well, maybe you know that. First of all, the forms we have to fill out, the fines that we can get as sellers or real estate agents, the civil penalty is from $1,000 under the state law and $10,000 criminal sanctions for federal law.
Right. If you don't disclose or, you know, properly inform your potential tenant or buyer.
Yeah. Because that was one of the things, too. The first question I asked Cindy when she found out about, you know, that this other house had the lead paint, I said, well, what does it say in MLS? Is it disclosed that there's lead paint? And she got the form and she said, no, it wasn't. But I understand why, though, because it was after, you know, it only came up at inspection. He didn't know prior to.
And it was a close time to when that inspection was done to when it was discovered.
Yeah. But he did a good job of taking care of it and everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He approached it the proper way. Yeah. He had proper licenses from what I hear, and that's the proper way to attack that type of situation.
Yeah, which is good, because as the buyer, the buyer's agent, you want to make sure, because their question was, what are our concerns when we go to sell this?
Right.
So if they knew that there was lead paint, they would have to disclose that.
Absolutely. Plus, you know, a lot of times it's a good idea if you were to check with the state website. You know, as you're looking at the property, you can type this in. It's a free search, and that will let you know the history, if any, for lead paint in the house, whether it was discovered and remediated, or there wasn't any lead hazards inside.
So what do you think the first thing I did when Cindy came into my office was?
You went to my website, you clicked on click here, and you went to the state website and and check the address.
Yes, I did. I said, well, Cindy, let me just check and see. And I said, she goes, well, where are you going? I go, I'm going on to Steve's website.
It's a secret spot.
Yeah, imperialinspectionservices.com. And then you just go on the left-hand side, there's a tab that says lead paint.
Yes.
You click on that, and then it says in there, there's a link, and then that brings you right to the state register.
Right down the bottom, it says if you inspect your house or you want to check your home, they'll say click here, and you click on that on the inspection. You can type any address in Massachusetts and find out the history, if there is any.
Yeah, which is really good, because if you are out there purchasing a home built before 1978, right. I would say that would be the first place that you would start.
Exactly.
Just to see if there is a history of it. So the good news is, okay, so you do an inspection, you do a full comprehensive, you find out there is lead. We'll talk about how you get that test in a minute. Then they de-lead it the proper way. They get a re-inspection you come back out, you do another inspection, you now say it's clean. Does the report on the mass say it's clean, or does it ever say it had it at one time but they fixed it?
Nope. We'll say, you know, they had a comprehensive inspection done on February 20th.
Yeah.
And then on March 3rd, ABC, the letters came in. They did leaded the place properly. The dust wipes passed, and a letter of full deleting compliance was written. And then, you know, usually within a few weeks or so, you can check the website, and all that chronological event will be all listed on there. So if reports get lost, you can call, you know, Joe Smith, the deletter, or the inspector, and be able to, you know, get those inspection forms and certificates.
Yeah. So that would be the important part of having a professional do it, so it's all recorded,
properly,
right?
Documented.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times we go back into a situation, if someone calls us, yeah, we got a hold of the report, and me and Uncle Bill, we did all the deleting, and first thing I asked for from them to send me is a copy of what they call a deletter's invoice, and that will state the license numbers and the scope of work that was performed on the property. If none of that, or if it was done by unauthorized personnel, then it becomes what they call a UD, unauthorized deleting, and it's a little bit more of a process in order to get some sort of certification on the property. And usually, instead of getting that full deleting compliance, you usually get either an unauthorized deleting letter or a letter of environmental status, which basically says it meets the state's for deleting, but it was achieved by unauthorized means. But then you end up losing your state tax credit and...
Yeah, and the state tax credit, say how much that was again, too.
That was $1,500 per unit.
Yeah, no, that's great, huh?
Absolutely, and it's a straight tax credit, so if your liability at the end of the year is $800 to the state, they'll be sending you back a check for $700.
That's great. Yeah. I found that date, by the way, from when they were using the paint. 1690s.
You got it, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, as soon as they started inventing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they really were using it for, a long time there. You know, one of the other things I read in there, too, because people will say, well, what are really the hazards? And, you know, we talked a little bit about, we worry about it in children, but there's also hazards to, you know, pregnant women and things like that.
Right.
There's also a hazard for, I didn't even realize this when I was looking through this, was, you know, the hazard of even older people who are ingesting it that could potentially have issues with becoming pregnant and things like that. So it's really legitimately serious stuff.
Yeah, and the lead can be stored in the bone and then released periodically, so you never know. And usually the blood test, and, you know, most of the letters, or all the letters, are checked periodically for lead paint poisoning. And if they go above a certain level, they can't be in, you know, that type of environment until their lead level goes down.
Until it goes down.
Right.
The other thing, too, though, you inspect for asbestos, too, right?
We do not.
You do
no,
not?
No.
Sometimes do you notice it, though? You might say,
yeah, if we see
that
something
checked.
That's suspect, we usually put asbestos-like material there. And then you want to have a licensed asbestos inspector come out. They'll take a sample, bring it back to the lab, and let you know what you're dealing with on there.
Okay. Yeah. But you can visually almost, get, at least when you're doing the inspection, you'll say that could be or potentially could be. What time is it? Okay, so we have Bob Gleason on the phone. We're just going to take him real quick so he can just tell us a little bit more about his event that he has coming on. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Sharon. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. I have Stephen Cook here with me this morning.
Hey, morning, Bob.
Morning, Steve. Yeah, I've been listening. This is a very interesting topic, to be honest with you. I kind of took lead paint as something that, hey, we all lived with it when we were kids. We all kind of turned out okay, I guess.
Yeah, okay. But okay is like really on a spectrum of what does that mean?
that's right. But I did just want to take a minute and say I'm sorry for the cancellation of the last event. It was originally scheduled for February the 9th, but there was snow that weekend. So for the safety of everybody coming, I thought it would be a better idea just to postpone it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have any email addresses or phone numbers to reach people that were interested in coming. That's why it's important to, if somebody wants to come, just to do that. So then if it does have to be canceled again, then I would be able to let people know. But it has been rescheduled for March the 8th. It's still going to be at the Adams Center, which is 33 Summer Street in Kingston. And we're going to be talking about right sizing, not necessarily downsizing to something that the family has had for several years. Some boomers are interested in moving to Boston. Boomers are interested in getting a bigger house than what they have now, or a condo, or just moving on somewhere from where they are now. And it's also really important, too, I think, to have adult children with them, because they seem to have a lot of ability to influence and help along their parents in making a decision as to what they want to do.
That's perfect. So, when is the date again, and where is it? Real quick, because we have to get going, too.
Yeah, I was just going to say that again.
Yeah.
It's going to be March the 8th at the Adams Center. And that's 33 Summer Street in Kingston, 7 to about 8:30. It's a free event. Please give me a call, 781-856-6714. Or you can reach me at bobgleason@bostonconnect.com. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Hope to see people there. Thanks,
Sharon. All right, thanks, Bob.
Hey, have a good morning, Bob.
Thanks. Again, that was Bob Gleason, and he is having his event. It is very important that you call him or email him, bobgleason@bostonconnect.com, and that is G-L-E-A-S-O-N, bobgleason@bostonconnect.com, so he has your information. So if it does have to cancel again, I know that there were a couple people who showed up, and they drove a long way to get there. So we're talking about lead paint. We're just going to continue on rather than taking a break right now. So with the full comprehensive, you go into a house and you're going to do an inspection. Tell me what happens from there.
I'll be testing it with what they call an XRF, which is a machine. We place it on the surface of the paint and we pull the trigger, and then usually within 5 to 10 seconds, it digitally lets you know, without disturbing or damaging the surface, what the content of lead is in that surface. And there is an acceptable levels of lead, and it's anything 1.0 or below, so 0.9 and below, that's not considered a lead hazard. It's just a minute amount that's inside the paint, and the action level today is 1.0 or greater would be considered a surface that needs to be deleaded or encapsulated or attended to.
So what is what's the highest number you've seen?
Well, the machine that we use reads 0 to 10. 10 being the highest, and 0 being the lowest.
Have you seen 10?
Yeah. Oh, we've seen 10, yes. Yeah,
really?
Usually anything 1950s or earlier, you put it on there, and the reading comes back like in 2 seconds with the machine,
Look at the smile you have on your face. It's like, oh, I already know where this is going.
Well, sometimes if it's a reading that's like 0.8 to 1.5, and the reason I'm smiling is when you put the machine on there, sometimes it will take 10 to 15 seconds for the reading to come back. But when you get something that's 10.0 or 8.8, it just... Bank. It's 2 seconds, it's there.
You have it, exactly. Those machines are expensive too, right?
Right, they can run anywhere from $12,000 to almost $18,000.
That is amazing.
Right, and then yearly it's about $2,500 to $4,000 worth of maintenance to the machines.
What do you have to do to them?
The source or the radioactive source inside needs to be replaced.
Really?
Yeah, because the longer you let it go, if you're working with, the machine we use, it's powered by cobalt 57, and the longer you let it go, its half-life or the decay to it doesn't give you quick readings. So the longer you let that source go, the longer it takes for the readings to come back.
So this is just another really good example for me. There's lots of great inspectors, just like there's lots of great home, real estate agents out there. But I think having you as a professional, knowing that these are things that I need to do to make sure that my machinery is properly being, it's one thing to just show up with a gun, but it's another thing. I mean, $2,500 a year to maintain those things.
Right. Plus, when we start an inspection, we actually have samples of lead paint to different degrees. So I take the machine, I take a series of 20 shots on certain leaded and unleaded materials to make sure the machine is reading properly before I even start the inspection. So I'll put it on a piece of lead that's 3.5. It's all on a calibration board, and that machine should read 3.5. Yeah, besides reading Zero.
That would be fun to do. Yeah, you should do that with the clients before, like, you start it. Why can you do that for me? Can I go to your office and do that?
You could. I should have brought the machine out, because that's my first call today, is a lead paint.
Is it?
And sandwich, and I got the machine in the car, but...
Well, we're doing a whole show on it. What do you mean it's out in your car? Give me your keys.
We'll get
the
visual.
Yeah, I know. Well, I could have put it on Periscope and people could have logged on to like Periscope and watched it.
Right.
I can't believe you didn't do that. Well, I'm going to run out to your car and grab it.
Okay.
No, I'm not touching it. It's $10,000 machine, but $12,000 machine. I'm not touching it. You know what? The thing is, like I said, is making sure that these things are calibrated the right way is really, really important.
Right.
But I think that that would be a fun thing for us to do. Do you know I still haven't cleaned my basement in order for you to come do? This spring, we're doing it. We're doing Mark, you're listening. We are doing that inspection at my house. That would be fun, Tim, if we could do like a live show from my house, right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, will you do it? Yeah, you'll do it, right? You come to my house.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And we'll do a live show from there.
Okay.
We'll have Larry or somebody be it. He can man here.
Tim's all perked up now.
Yeah, sure.
We'll have, you know, cinnamon buns for everybody when they come.
Yeah, mimosas.
Yeah, exactly.
Bloody Marys.
Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we're going to talk. We're going to take a quick break so I can get your commercials in there. And when we come back, we're also going to talk about the other types of processes people could do to get the lead paint. So we'll be right back.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4172 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Bass Branch License 338980.
Imperial Inspection Services, complete home inspection services, radon testing featuring on-site results with electronic testing, lead paint inspection, Title V inspection, pest inspection, including FHA and VA. Call 7 days a week, 1-800-440-1141, or visit them on the web at imperialinspectionservices.com. With 28 years experience in two convenient locations, Braintree and Cape Cod, accepting credit cards for all services rendered. Imperial Inspection Services, 1-800-440-1141. 1-800-440-1141.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300. 50% more talk real estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Now, 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
Chip with it too, so it resets it to zero.
Awesome, and we are back. We're just talking about other things here. You know, it's always about, well, it's all lead paint related. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, along with Stephen Cook of Imperial Inspection Services. We are talking about lead paint today. We have Tim manning the phones. No callers today other than Bob Gleason. 781-837-4900. Again, if you're going to Bob's event that he is having in February in Kingston, make sure you email him, Bob Gleason, G-L-E-A-S-O-N, at bostonconnect.com. So we are talking about lead paint, and one of the things I want to talk about is what are the responsibilities of people when they put their house on the market. So when I'm talking to my listing clients, my clients who are selling their homes, and by the way, it's so busy out there right now, isn't it?
It is very busy. Yeah, you know, we're booked right into almost the end of next week. We have a couple spots left, but we're pretty much booked in.
Yeah, so I think it's just been, the weather has been on our side, and as soon as we put a listing on the market, it is selling right away, so long as people are priced right. Sometimes people confuse that, though.
Right, because I've seen some of the distressed stuff, you know, that come down in price, so someone that can fix that type of, you know, concerns have been coming in and, you know, scooping up the stuff that's just been sitting, you know, 9-10 months on the market.
Absolutely. We have some great properties that are out there, so you can go to bostonconnect.com and find all of our listings that we have for the office and beyond. So we have a really good search tool on there, so if you want to see some homes, feel free to go on there and give me a ring-a-ling, and then I can show you some of these properties. Or if you're thinking about putting your house on the market, I'd love the opportunity to give you an analysis on your home to let you know what the value is. And that's one of the things I want to talk about with property, the property transfer lead notification. In this form, see, if you're very familiar with.
I've seen that before. I'm not 100% because that's more on the real estate transaction.
Okay, yeah. So this is for us. And this form is to be signed by the prospective purchaser before signing the purchase and sales agreement. So this is for any property. So if I'm a listing agent, I go to a property. The house is built before 1978.
That's correct.
As the listing agent, it is my responsibility to give this to the seller. Right. The buyer is not supposed to fill this out. And that's where people don't... A lot of people make this mistake in Massachusetts.
Right. I hear that all the time. Say, oh, you weren't supposed to sign that, or how come they did it and you didn't? And
exactly, because you're signing a piece of paper before the seller signs it.
Right.
So, I mean, there could be lead paint on there. So that's the reason why the seller has to do it first.
Right.
So on this form, it basically says, so you're listing your home. Your home is built before 1978. I give you the listing contract. Along with that, I give you the property transfer lead notification certification that basically asks you a couple questions. Do you know about any lead paint in the house? Are there any hazards of lead paint in the house? If so, explain. Do you have any knowledge? Blah, blah, blah. We just check it off. And again, there's $10,000 worth of fines on here. So we're really particular about where you initial, where you check, you check. Once this is done, and it says right on here, Steve, too, see, like a lead inspection report,
right.
There's a risk assessment, there's a letter of interim control, a letter of compliance.
Right, all the terms we were talking about earlier, yes.
Yeah, so that's on there. So if the seller has those, they check those off.
And provide those for the prospective buyer.
Exactly. Yep. So we know, but if a lot of people just don't know.
No.
So if you're, you just check off that you don't know, you sign it, I sign it as the listing agent, and then what ends up happening as a buyer, when you purchase a home or you want to buy a home that's built before 1978, I, as the buyer's agent, will go to the listing agent and say, my client is going to be submitting an offer. May I please have a copy of your lead paint notification?
Right.
And then we just have him sign that one, him or her sign
and one
that
thing
one.
That may want to be done either on the listing or the selling end, which is a good idea, is when you do have a property that's either you're representing the buyer or the seller of the house, go to the website, punch it up. That way, you know, 3 weeks down the road, they get in the home inspection, and all of a sudden someone says, check out a website, and they find that there's documents or something's been done. That way,
that's a really good idea.
They're tripping over the curve, and at least everybody knows up front, and you can start to track down all that documentation. And just one less thing to talk about after everything's dotted and crossed.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, actually. Yeah. I think I'm going to bring that up at our next training at the office for all of our buyer agents. I tend to do a lot of new construction.
Right.
So a lot of my, I don't have to really worry about it. But, you know, the other thing is there's a lot of repurposed wood out there right now. So people are bringing in these old mantles from Dorchester and Southie and everything that are just wonderful and awesome, but they have lead paint on them.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
You see that sometimes the cribs, baby furniture.
Yeah. You know, that's so funny because a friend of mine, he actually does all the signs for the office, and he was doing a yard sale on his family's property, and I looked at, I have a picture of it. I have to post it. I've never seen, I cannot believe he ate his Cheerios off of that. I was like, well, that explains a lot.
Oh, old high chair?
The high chair, yeah.
Yes,
you know,
paint's probably peeling.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Well, they dug into the spoon.
that's what I said.
That's
I
paint, like, not ice cream.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, now I understand why you're the way you are. are. No, I'm kidding. He's a great guy. So make sure that you do have that property transfer lead notification when you are purchasing a home before 1978. Steve just gave a great tip. I think it's a great idea. Go on to his website, which is Imperial Inspection Services. On the left-hand side, you'll see a tab that says lead paint. Can't get much easier than that. Go over, scroll down to the bottom. On the right, you'll see a little link that says click here. Brings you right into the Massachusetts State Registry of where all these things are posted, and you can look up the property and print out, I guess you could print out if they're
out
forms.
Yeah, you can print it right out there, and it will let you know who the inspector was and what type of scope of work was done.
Okay. So also the other thing, too, when I was talking to my friend, Charlie Burke, who is, you know, he teaches classes on all of this, and he's on one of the state boards as well. When you're going to be renting a property for, I think it's like over 30 days, I think it is.
Right.
You also have to have, there's another form. It's a tenant certification form that we have to let people know there's a potential, right?
Yeah, and turn over any documentation that you have for lead inspections, certifications, and stuff like that.
Mm. So if there is lead paint in there, it isn't that they can't rent it. They just have to be notified that there is?
I wonder. If they have children six or under residing in that unit, okay, it has to be deleted.
Okay.
That's
even if it's a short term, like a week or something, or over 31 days?
Over 31 days.
Okay.
You got it. Yep.
But if they're there less than that, they don't have to worry about it, I guess?
Sometimes, depending, it's urgent lead hazards. I haven't done many of the short term short-term notifications or short-term units. It's more toward, you know, full-time living in the place.
Yeah. It's very interesting, though. I had actually completely forgotten about that. It's been a while since I've taken my broker class, my broker test and all that. Again, 781-837-4900. We do have a few minutes here in regard to lead paint. So we talked about your gun. What are other ways that people can do it? I suggest always having a professional do it because...
Right, that way you get 100% proper results on there. The other way that we check for lead paint, and it's usually we use this type of chemical called sodium sulfide, and it's only used when sometimes that gun I was talking about doesn't fit into a particular surface to be tested. So to use this, you actually take like a razor knife and you scrape into the paint a little bit down to the bare substrate or the wood, and you put this chemical on it, and it will react with lead paint by turning black or gray.
Oh, really?
Yep, and it will let you know the presence. And sometimes if it's really thick, you know, like seven layers of paint, it actually, you can see which layer is lead and which is not.
Really?
Just by the little, it's...
That's really interesting.
Right.
There's so many YouTube videos you could be doing. Why don't you have someone just following you around all the time? I should do that.
One other aspect.
You know? Yeah, maybe I'll just, you know, give up my real estate gig and just follow you around taking all these videos. No, I love my real estate.
But the only problem, you know, using that is one, you're going in, you know, say if it's a real estate transaction, you're going in with a razor knife, you know, scoring these people's, trimming the house.
And then you don't buy it.
And then they don't buy it. And then the other offset is the stuff smells like a fresh dog pile for a couple hours after.
Oh, really?
You know, so it smells like the Title V's backing up. And,
oh, gosh. Yeah, good news is you don't have a Title V issue. Bad news is you have lead paint.
Right.
So. But with the lead paint, though, let's just say somebody says, okay, now we have lead paint. It isn't really the seller's responsibility to get rid of it, right? It's just up to the buyer to decide if they want to purchase
it. Exactly. They can either negotiate, walk, or, you know, deal with it themselves.
Yeah. So I think that that's one of the things that sellers should consider. I mean, we always talk about pre-inspection. Have you had people pre-inspect for this?
Usually not on a single-family home. If it's a multi-family home, they usually do that. And that way they either bring the place into compliance or get an estimate of what it would take to bring it into compliance. So sometimes they can price the house accordingly. So if the prospective buyer coming in has kids six and under renting, they'll know what they're dealing with on that.
Yeah, because you cannot rent. I mean, well, and that's the thing is you cannot be denied to take a unit if there's lead paint.
Right. If you're six and under, you cannot. Nope.
Yeah. So as a landlord, I can't say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't live here because we have lead paint and you have a child under the age of six.
Right. And a lot of times, depending on the underwriter for the insurance, they won't cover you for lead paint poisoning unless you have a certificate on file.
Okay. That's a really good point, actually, that we didn't even get into. And I should probably talk about that with the insurance person, too. I wonder, is it difficult to get, like, if you know you have lead paint, so it must be difficult to get home insurance?
They'll just exclude that from there. So if, you know, something transacts down there, you don't have insurance, so they come after you.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Rather than, you know, talking to ABC Triangle Insurance Company.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We heard the doorbell. I already told you that there are lots of open houses that are going on tomorrow. So you can go to Jefferson Square, which is a wonderful condo development that I am marketing and promoting and listing as a seller's agent. And I have an agent that will be doing that for me today and tomorrow. Actually, Mary will be there today. That's over on Washington Street, 595 Washington Street. These are beautiful condos. Have you seen these?
I have seen those, yes. Very nice.
Yeah,
yes.
Very, very nice. They look like Beacon Hill or the South End. They're like warehouse, old warehouse looking, but they're brand new construction. Kevin Saland is the builder over there, wonderful builder. We also have new construction on Equestrian with Stonebridge Homes. They're another wonderful builder, so you can get out there and see all those things. We have a bunch of open houses coming up next weekend, too. Go to bostonconnect.com. You can find all the open houses, not only for my real estate office, Boston Connect Real Estate, but for all of the open houses on the South Shore and North Shore. If you can't get in this weekend because you're going to be cleaning out your basement, you can give us a buzz and we can gladly get you in there. My phone number is 781-294-4848. Again, 781-294-4848. You can email me, text me, you can do whatever, Sharon at Boston Connect. Steve, how can people get in touch with you?
They can reach us by 1-800-440-1141. Again, 1-800-440-1141. Or they can go to our website, which is imperialinspectionservices.com.
Again, that's imperialinspectionservices.com. He has a lot of great stuff on there. Again, we told you how you can get to the link to get to the state by for the lead paint. He has all kinds of other things on there. So if you need a home inspection, Steve is the person that, in my opinion, you should be calling. I know that I refer him to all my buyer clients because I think he's the best of the best.
Right. Thank you.
One time I heard you were called the deal breaker to me. I had a buyer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the listing agent said, who are you referring as a home inspector? I said, Stephen Cook from Imperial. She goes, he's a deal breaker.
Right. It all depends if you're the seller or the buyer. So a lot of times I'll do something for a seller and he's mad at me that day there. And then 2 weeks later, I said, can you have Steve do my inspection?
Exactly. I need something. I want to find everything. So, and you're teaching them wonderful things about their properties as well. So Stephen Cook from Imperial Inspection Services. Again, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you.
And we'll see you in a few
weeks.
Have
a safe ride.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.